Good morning.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And I'm just really, really excited to bring my next guest to you. There are people who have had an influence in my doing what I do. One of them, you know, is George Barna, who I love to be able to bring George on and talk about the biblical worldview, which is really his focus. And my next guest is someone that I met many, many, many moons ago in Sacramento, California, back when Brad Dacus, right? Did I say that right?
Yeah, Brad Dacus.
Dacus. Was starting the Pacific Justice League?
Institute.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Pacific Justice Institute.
Yeah. And you were part-time with CRI, and Michael Ferris was still with HSLDA. And you know, we came up for some meetings, and then we also were there for the legislative day. We came a number of times during sessions because there was a lot that was happening regarding homeschooling in California back in the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. A great deal that was taking place back then. And Karen had a profound influence on encouraging us to get involved and be engaged. And I thank you for that.
Oh, that is very kind of you to say. Wow. Well, thank you. That's why I'm called to do what I'm doing. And I give all the glory to God. It's not me. It's been him, because I just have a little 2-year fashion degree and got in 8th grade a D- in my government class. So it is not me.
I love that. I absolutely love that, Karen. Well, talk to me about what you're doing right now. What is, obviously you and I both know there's a lot going on in California in particular. There's a lot going on nationally. We're battling an out of control Department of Education that is shoving an agenda and indoctrination. And the Department of Justice is backing that up by suggesting that parents that don't agree with the mutilation of their children and creating mass confusion in their identity are somehow domestic terrorists. With that as a backdrop, talk to me about what you're up to.
Well, at Capital Resource Institute, we're doing several things. We now have broadened beyond California, so we work in any state that really needs us. And we're doing a lot with on-the-ground local parent groups and school boards. So trying to empower parents to reclaim their parental rights. So as an example, the people probably seen in the news, the state of California is suing Chino Valley Unified School District for putting a policy in place that says if your child is going to socially transition, then within 3 days, the school needs to notify the parent, that we can't keep that secret. Everybody at school can't know, but hide it from the parents. And the state of California is suing over that. So that's a policy. And you can go to our website, and then you can get to our coalition website. That's a policy that is passing. And we've had about 7 or 8 school districts in California pass that. And so we're going to continue empowering school boards. But it's not just California. I have to tell you, there, Wilson County, Tennessee, there are a lot of red counties where they are hiding the transition of students. And so this policy is something that can be adapted to any school board in any state, especially if it can be done in California, it can be done in any other state. So we're trying to empower local school boards to go in and protect parental rights when the state legislature won't. So that's one thing. The other one is really exposing the graphic nature of the books in the public school library. You know, I have been at this a long time, as you said, a long, long time ago we met. And I kind of used to poo-poo the parents that, you know, I thought it was just a book here or there. And I just thought that's just not the most important thing to be focusing on. I've come to change, you know, my eyes have been opened. There is so much in the public school library that is so graphic. It's erotica, it's porn, and our kids are having access to it. Sometimes they're assigned the books in any sort of honors or AP English. And this stuff is disgusting. So we formed a website, takebacktheclassroom.com, where we are listing the books by school district. We only have 11 states up there right now, but every day we add more. And we have books, and we'll end up with about 150, 200 of the most common pornographic books that are in the school. And we do it in a way that you can for free download the PDFs that have the excerpts from the books, take it to your school board, you can read them. We have a model policy there that starting at a school in California on October 19th, we're going to bring it forward, and it's going to allow parents to get this stuff removed. Part of the problem is that this stuff is difficult, or the policies that schools have put in place make it difficult for a parent or community member to remove the book. They usually have a committee made up of the same people that put the book in there and thought it was okay for 14-year-olds, and they're the ones deciding. Well, our policy puts it in the hands of the community where it should be, and in the hands of the school board, the elected officials.
So you guys are in, I'm just looking, you guys are in California. I see Tennessee, Colorado, Texas, Idaho, Missouri, South Dakota, Pennsylvania. And if you didn't, folks, if you're listening and you did not hear your state, you can contact them. The website is takebacktheclassroom.com, takebacktheclassroom.com, or, as you can see on the screen under Karen England's name, capitalresource.org. Just a quick question, because I was, as I searched for this, something that came up was a capitalresearch.org. Are you familiar with that organization?
Yeah, we're not affiliated at all. We've been around since 1987, so we've, I don't know, 37 years, something like that. Uh-huh. And so, no, we're Capital Resource Institute, and it's capital with an O. Our home office is in Sacramento. We have an office in Tennessee, and then we travel to several states. And like you said, if your state is not on there, it's just a matter of time. We just don't have the resources. And so if you connect with us, we've got some parent groups that are working on putting together the information so we can put it up on our site, and that will help. But we are adding, as a matter of fact, in 2 hours, we have a few, several, I think about 10, 11 more school districts going online, and about 6 new books that have not been displayed yet. So again, it's just a matter of having the time and the staff to get it done. But
sure,
we're happy to add states, and we're doing that on a regular basis.
It's interesting because I know, you know, right here where I am in Texas, matter of fact, just up the road in Fredericksburg, the parents up in Fredericksburg, Texas, have been in a huge battle, both with the school district, but also with the city council, over the books that are being displayed in the public library there, in the children's section, in the kids section.
And it's interesting because I think it was just this morning that I saw a public school library in Texas. Oh, I wish I would have remembered. It was the public library. And they were declaring themselves as a sanctuary library from book banning. And so you have these activists that, even though there is a recent law in Texas, and I know a lot of school districts have been removing some of the pornographic books, but others are just doubling down and refusing to do so. And so our organization wants to help. We will, connect you with other people on the ground. We can help. We're very big on strategy. You know, the left is running around saying, they're banning books. And we need to not fall for that. We're curating. We're doing nothing different than what a librarian does. A librarian gets a stack of books, and she or he decides what's going to go in the library and what isn't. And just because she chooses that something is inappropriate, like a Playboy for a public school, does not mean it's banning. And so we think the public and parents need to be more involved in the curating of these books. And so we are specifically focusing on the most graphic, because those are the ones that even the left can't defend. And so our strategy is to really go after those.
That's the truly sick part about this is they do. And the premise for this is the Alfred Kinsey studies, and that is what's made its way into our public school sex education programs. And back when we were going to Sacramento with you, one of the things that triggered that for me was when Michael Ferris and HSLDA were pointing out testimonies from people back in Massachusetts where they were having those assemblies and they were secretly videotaping them, school assemblies demonstrating perverted homosexual acts in front of the entire student body.
Yeah, and now look, we have, you know, the drag queen story hour, and they're proud of it, and, you know, little kids at them. We have booster clubs. Some different booster clubs have been doing, like, drag queen night, raising funds for schools. It's just become, they're way out of the closet. They're not hiding it. And my question is, especially since COVID, they are on record, whether it's at gay pride parades, that we are coming for your kids. And yes, that we think this is appropriate. My question to your listeners, do you believe them? And are you going to stand in between the kids and these people? And that's what our organization seeks to do.
And folks, it is critical. We're going to, you know, we just spent an hour with Pastor Rafael Cruz, who comes on my program on a monthly basis, dear friend. And we talked about, you know, the action points. And one of those is faith without works is dead. We have a responsibility, a citizen responsibility, to be engaged and involved in this. There's an article. This is just, I mean, just happened September 27th, 2023. Texas's ban on certain drag shows, according to a federal lunatic judge, is unconstitutional. And yeah, I'll say it. He's a lunatic. So Mr. Judge, you're going to tell me that you would be okay with your grandchild, your little grandgirl, your little five-year-old grand girl going to one of these events and having one of these men rub his crotch up into her mouth? You're good with that, huh? That's okay with you?
You just did say that is what goes on. I had to wince a little bit, but I know better because I read this stuff in the books all the time. Yeah, they do. And that's why one of the things that in our model policy that we have for schools, there are First Amendment issues. So the way you write a piece of legislation or a school board policy is important so that a judge can't throw it out. Not that they wouldn't, because we've got activist judges everywhere, but it is important as we want these issues to eventually make their way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. It is important that we are really mindful of the language that we use when we put in policies and laws, because the same thing happened in Tennessee where a county, it was struck down the drag queen story hour for minors. And so we need to just keep doing what the left does, reintroduce it, repass it, change the wording if we need to. This is a marathon, not a sprint. We didn't get here overnight. This happened, you know, we just woke up during COVID, right? Or at least most people woke up during COVID.
Yep.
And now we need to continue the march forward because the people aren't silent anymore. And we really are the majority. Our polling that we did a year ago, Rasmussen, on the library books was off the charts. It was off the charts. Parents and community members agree with us. They just need to stop remaining silent.
And I think, you know, again, as you said, there's an awakening, there's a realization because they've seen some of it now, but there's also still denial in the air in the sense of the average person. You've got people that are actively engaged in fighting against it. You've got people that are actively engaged in promoting it. Then you've got people in the center. And there's a swath of people in the center that it's so stunning that it's like they can't be. I mean they can't be. This can't be real. And I've had that. I've even had guests on my program who are addressing other issues that I've talked to that are like, you know, I get it, but I mean, it can't be that bad. And you literally have to show them like one of the children testifying before the school board, reading what they have been asked to read in their classroom. And I, folks, I know you may have been a little stunned, although with me, you shouldn't be because I'm just right out there in it. But you know what I just said about the whole crotch thing, but I'm telling you, what I said to you is actually theater light compared to the stuff that's actually in these books that your children are being asked to read out loud in the classroom in front of the class. And in some instances, literally, they are being asked to stand up front with other students and act these things out. I 3 or 4 years ago, I was bringing to people's attention where they had but basically it's a race, it's a condom race
popular one.
Yeah.
So that's why our website, you can go there and see a lot of, we have most of the excerpts from compliant sex ed in California where we have comprehensive sex ed, and they're very big on this. group community and getting up in groups and reading. And just like you said, and the goal is to desensitize them
right.
to these issues. And they right. actually say it in their curriculum.
Yep.
They say, we were hearing nonstop right before COVID about, oh, my public school isn't teaching that in California. So we did 900 public records requests on every school district to show that every school district is teaching this. And again, COVID hit, so we only have about 300 of them up there online. But it's absolutely crazy, like you said. That's why the Take Back the Classroom is so important. I have a mom in Tennessee that I printed some of the PDFs that have the page numbers, the text, all of it. And I wrote at the top of each one of the books PDF which schools in our district that was in. She carries that with her in her purse.
Good for her.
And shows people because they really don't believe it.
No.
I wouldn't believe it.
Right.
I mean, like I said, I kind of poo-pooed those moms before a couple of years ago. And yeah. I'm just floored at how common it is, how bad it is, and how many of them there are.
Well, I want to tell you, and I'm going to encourage folks, too. There is a movie called Return to the Hiding Place. I don't know if you ever heard of it, Karen, or not, but fantastic film. And it is the story of the youth that became involved with the Ten Booms in rescuing the Jews and what happened. And it is a firsthand account, by the way, that was taken from one of those youth. The man who wrote and directed this interviewed one of the survivors, the young boys, who was, of course, obviously an old man at that point, who told his story. And the point of it that I bring up is it says, as the will of the children goes, so goes the nation. Folks, it makes me so angry. They are trying to destroy the innocence and the conscience of your children. Please understand.
With our tax dollars. I mean, that's the other thing. You know, you can pull your kids out. My grandkids are homeschooled. You can pull your kids out, which I would recommend. However, what about the other kids who are single parent homes, or they aren't saved, or they're inner city? Who is speaking and protecting those hearts and minds? And I would assert that we have an obligation to do that. If we know this is going on, then we as the adults in the room need to go in and do what we can to protect them. And that's why our organization and our website, that's why we put all of these different tools up there. I realize I didn't know how to lobby. We have a podcast that talks about, you know, 10 Commandments of Effective Advocacy. All of this stuff we provide for free because we want to equip the people on the ground. We talk about how does a bill become a law. Don't be intimidated that lawmakers know more than you. They don't.
That's right.
They do not know more That's right. than you. And I assure you, on any one given topic, you're going to know more than they do.
And that's why they ask you.
I know more about books than probably every elected official in this country about the books in the library.
Well, Karen, that's why they ask you to come. That's why they ask us, the people, to come. I testified back when we did our pastor protection bill here in Texas. It's the reason that they ask us to come and testify, because they'll tell you, I'm not an expert in what you know.
Yeah.
But I understand that what you're dealing with is real, and I support it, and we want to help pass a bill or what have you to address right. it. You're the one, though, who really knows this, and the rest of the committee is as blind and as ignorant about this topic as I am. So come and testify. Come and tell us why it's so important to put this through. And, you know, this issue of the conscience, Karen, I think is so important. We've got about 4 minutes left, but to really drill down on and understand, because the issue of the conscience, why do we have young people going in bulk into stores and stealing? Why do we have assaults on the street? Why have sexual assaults? Why is there more violence on the street? Why is there this violence in the school? Why are all these things? Because the conscience of these young people has been seared while we have sat back. So many have sat back and watched it happen. And in many instances, we're busy. We're just trying to survive. And they've done that to us on purpose as well. They've ripped mom out of the house. They want the kids to be latchkey kids, is what we used to call it back in the day. But they want these kids to go home to an empty house where they jump onto the internet and they can get more indoctrination because there's nobody there to monitor, nobody there to watch, nobody there to take care of, nobody to be the gatekeeper for them. And they've already seared their conscience. It is a horrific system that we are literally trying to burn to the ground, because it must be burned to the ground, and a new system built that is more reflective of the will of the people.
Well, absolutely. And that's why, I mean, here's the thing. Progressives, this is their religion. And so they are at every single school board meeting. So that's why, you know, you need to get together with a group of people, your Bible study, and start monitoring this and spread out some of the work. We're busy raising our families, serving in our communities. I'm running around to school board meetings. So we're busy. But that's why organizations like Capital Resource Institute, or if guns are your issue that the Lord has laid on your heart, or whatever it is, there are organizations out there, nonprofits. We're a nonprofit. Our goal is to equip you and to do some of the work so that you can be home with your family. But listen to a podcast while you're cooking dinner, if you know, or driving your kids to school, sure, to figure out how you can get engaged. And there is something from your kitchen table that every single person can do.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to send this to you. I have a resolution, actually, that the Lord dropped on me, that I'm encouraging people to take to their county commissions and to their city councils. It specifically has to do with what happened at the G20, but you can apply it to all of this. And it's basically them saying, we're going to honor our oath of office. We're going to do what the Constitution says we're supposed to do, and we're going to defend the rights of our constituents via the Constitution, and nothing is going to be allowed to encroach. Nothing on the federal level, nothing on the state level, nothing. And it's got to start with your local body politic and then move its way up. But and then there is a declaratory prayer that the Lord gave me as well, specific to that, to break back the spirit of darkness. I'm going to send it to you, Karen, so you can, you know, take a look at it. And if the Lord moves you, you can incorporate it into whatever you're doing.
Absolutely. Awesome. Love to see that.
Blessings to you. Again, capitalresource.org. Capitalresource.org. There are resource tabs at the top where you can go. They've got the highlights of the different things. And as I tell you every day, folks, you know, we're not all called to do everything. We can't. So pick the thing that you feel the Lord is leading you to do and engage. Just do that. Just do your part. There's enough of us that if every single one of us would just do what God has called us to do, oh my goodness, we could. Everybody says, oh, it's impossible. There's no way we're... No, it's not. Because with God, nothing is impossible. And he has given us, as his hands and his feet, the empowerment to be able to do it. Karen, God bless you.
Oh, well, you too, and thank you. It was quite a blessing to be on the show.
Thank you, dear. Thank you so very much. All right, we're going to take our break. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have Clanslight. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And Clanslight is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring, that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Neither products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. Let me find a button to push here. I don't know. There's a good button to push. We'll do that one to start with. All right. Hey, I'm very, very, very pleased to have my next guest back with me. It's been a minute, but of course he's a busy guy, you know. I mean, and then, you know, he's got to run around with his fire extinguisher and his fire cap on, and oh my goodness, it is my sincere pleasure to welcome back to the program Jim Harden with Compass Care. Jim, welcome. Good to have you. Thanks for being here.
Great to be back, Pastor. It's an honor to be with you as usual. Yeah, I got a lot of hats. Fire extinguisher, fire chief is one of them. You know, lawyer apparently is another, trying to figure out navigate these laws and protect pregnancy centers from, you know, these pro-abortion politicians that are, you know, standing in for Jane's Revenge now, this pro-abortion terrorist group that seems to be backing off because of all the pressure they're getting. We're going to find him, though. There's been an arrest, the first arrest in over 300 attacks on pro-life people. There's been an arrest, a conviction, and a sentencing. This was a FACE Act violation, but it was the Erie County DA in Buffalo that did it, and the DOJ with Merrick Garland is refusing to indict on a FACE Act violation, which they promised they would do, by the way. But I always said that they were lying, and Kristen Clark, his assistant, is a known BLM Antifa supporter, so we shouldn't be surprised.
Now, this is a FACE Act against you guys, against pro-life. Is that
the FACE Act has been weaponized against pro-life people? That was
absolutely
why it was created.
Yes, but, right. But okay,
we're saying that if it exists, I don't believe it should exist. I think it's unconstitutional on its face. But as long as it exists, it needs to be enforced equally. And when we were attacked both times, we caught somebody the second time,
right?
And that was a FACE Act violation. And we're saying, you need to enforce this FACE Act equally. Merrick Garland said he would. When in the context of the Senate Judiciary Committee under oath, asked about Compass Care and attacks on pro-life pregnancy centers like Compass Care. He said if they found somebody, they would apply the FACE Act equally. Well, they're not. We found somebody. We got them. So why aren't you doing anything? And it's because, like we said, they know who these people are, and they're giving them a pass because they happen to hold to the same a pro-abortion narrative as the Biden administration, and we're politically disfavored because we happen to be pro-life.
It really is absolutely disgusting. Their selective enforcement of law is essentially what we're talking about here.
I've been speaking long. I've been decrying this injustice, this intentional conspiracy to deprive pro-life people of equal protection under the law, 14th Amendment, by the way, for a year, 12 months at least. And I can tell you when I started, it was early September last year when I came out against the FBI. And we had to file a lawsuit against the local police department for keeping our evidence from us. So we got the attention of the House Judiciary Committee with Jim Jordan. We got the attention of the Senate Judiciary Committee with Ted Cruz. And they started to hold the DOJ and the FBI under Christopher Wray accountable, asking them why they've abdicated their duty to investigate, why they're refusing to indict, why they're refusing to prosecute when it comes to violence against pro-life people. And now you've got Kevin McCarthy, in an unprecedented move, getting ousted. These are unprecedented times. I believe that the attacks on pro-life people are not just a shot across the bow of the pro-life people, a shot across the bow of the church. Most pro-life people are Christians, but I think it's a shot across the bow of the constitutional rule of law, because no matter where you stand on the spectrum of the abortion debate, people should be very concerned about what's happening and how the law is being manipulated and used like a legal buffet to undermine the Constitution. We see that happening right now with respect to attacks on pro-life people coming from disaffected left-wing groups that are being motivated by Antifa. So this is fourth-generation warfare. I believe that we've got corruption on the upper echelons of federal government, including the Biden administration and the DOJ and the FBI and the DHS. And I think that Kevin McCarthy was, he was milquetoast. He was status quo. And if they're going to replace him, this is the perfect opportunity. This is like World War II, Neville Chamberlain stepping down, paving the way for a Winston Churchill. In wartime, we need wartime leaders. This country is being attacked from without and from within.
So we have an opportunity. So you were in favor of what Matt did as far as making a shift of the Speaker of the House and not continuing with the compromise, because in my opinion, let me I'm not trying to set you up here. I promise. I believe that what Matt did was right. I believe that we must have. We've got to stop this milquetoast. Everything's about we got to compromise. We're not compromising anymore. There's a line in the sand. You either cross that line or we're going to find somebody to replace you. We will primary you. And that means even some of these guys that are supposed, the most conservative. No, you know what? I called out Chip on this on my text. I called Chip out and said, look, you went after the J6 people. You were wrong and you've never recanted for that. Now you went on the wrong side of this argument. I don't care. We had this thing and we put it in place. And no. Because we sent you there and you said you're going to be a warrior for absolute 100% change, period, end of story, and that you knew how because you knew where the bones were buried. Okay, well, unearth the bones, get those damn things out of there, and let's change this. And now.
Now, consensus and compromise politicians in the Republican Party, or conservatives, if you will not win. Just as I said on the lead up to the 2022 midterms, I said I predicted Republican losses because they were focusing on symptom issues. Crime is bad, but it's a symptom. They were focusing on the economy, inflation. That's bad, but it's a symptom. They started to back away from moral issues. We need moral leaders who are impervious to the corruption and are able to resist the temptation to sell out the weak and vulnerable citizen, like preborn boys and girls, for political power. I mean, this compromise consensus garbage about, you know, oh, gestational age limits, and we're going to, you know, Trump came out saying we're going to find a compromise that's going to make everybody happy. Well, you know what's the, when you start, can you compromise on how many lives it's okay to kill? What morally, you know,
what moral compass
is going to say, hey, what, yeah, this what makes more, perfect yeah. sense.
What yeah, moral we can compass?
Kill 45% of preborn babies. That'll make the pro-lifers happy because now it's no longer 100%. You know, in, you know, if we're killing 900,000 babies every year in abortion, let's bring the gestational age down to 6 weeks. That still allows for 45% of all abortions to continue. That's a lot of abortions. That's a lot of killing.
Well,
and who's going to compromise it?
And let's, you know, because the abortion issue is tied directly to the sex education issue that's happening in our schools. And the fact that Planned Parenthood, while the, you know, the quote unquote conservative Republicans are in Washington, D.C., talking about how they don't fund Planned Parenthood, that's a lie. That is a lie. $400 million a year at my last check. It's probably even higher now, but at least $400 million a year goes towards Planned Parenthood under the health portion of the budget as a quote unquote women's health facility. Now the issue with that is that they don't do what they're being paid to do. They do referrals. They don't do mammograms at Planned Parenthood facilities. They do referrals. Okay? That's what they do. And Abby Johnson does a great job of explaining exactly why they shouldn't qualify for those funds because of her experience as a director, as the director of the year, by the way, of one of those facilities. And then there's the also Kathy, the gal from Dallas, who was one of the first ones to close her clinics, her Planned Parenthood clinics, and step out and face death threats and everything else.
That's right. I mean, I think we've got an opportunity in this country. I think people are waking up to the reality of the propaganda of the abortion industry. It's a $1 billion abortion complex that gets pro-abortion politicians elected. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. Pro-abortion politicians and the Democrat Party don't care about abortion. They don't. They care about what abortion gives them. Abortion power. Gives them power.
Yeah.
It gives them absolute power, as a matter of fact, because absolute power can be defined as the ability to decide who lives and who dies. And so if we continue to vest government and government officials with the power to decide which persons or which categories of person qualify for protection under the law and which ones do not, then the rule of law is a sham. It's a rule of man at that point. The justice system is no longer blind at that point. I mean, we have an opportunity with this change in the Speaker of the House to cut through this systemic corruption. I mean, I think what the Speaker needs to understand is that America is not in a crisis of crime or economy, but a crisis of conscience. We no longer have a common understanding about what it means to be human under God.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the founders of this country, John Adams, famously said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate for any other." And if we don't have these kinds of people who understand what right and wrong is and what it means to be human, that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights,
right,
not by our government,
right,
then we're going to have this problem of corruption, and it's going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. And so I think we need somebody from the outside who understands this stuff, like you, Pastor. I think we need somebody like you nominated for this. I mean, maintaining the status quo is unprecedented for unprecedented times.
Well, you know, Reverend, what I wrote down here is no conscience, no soul. And that was right before you said we have a crisis of conscience. And that's what we have to understand that this is about. The Planned Parenthood mission is, you know, abortion is a financial benefit that feeds the engine. But the goal here, the ultimate goal here is the elimination, the eugenics that was associated with the black population and minorities in particular when Margaret Sanger began this, and she said so. And then in addition to that, it is the searing of the conscience, because now what you have is you have an empty soul. And when you talk about power and control, an empty soul is someone that you can put into them what you want them to do, what you want them to be, how you want them to behave. It's man's attempt to shape man in his image and to literally extinguish the image of God in mankind. That is really the war and the battle that we are in the midst of. And when you say, well, that, you know, we can't legislate morality, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't think that it has been legislation that has caused drag queens in classrooms and libraries, if you don't think that it's legislation that has pushed pornographic materials into our children's hands in school, if you don't think that it's legislation that has funded abortion and the sexualization of 4- and 5-year-olds with the goal of getting them pregnant by the time they're 9 and their first abortion easily by the time that they are 11 years old, if you don't think that that is political and legislative of morality, I'm tempted to have to slap you upside the head. I'm sorry. I know somebody, oh my God, listen, I know you know this. That's what's so, what is frustrating to me is, you know, we're trying to be congenial. We're trying to be nice. We're trying to do all these things. At the end of the day, we're going to have to give an account for all of this innocent blood that has been shed.
Yes.
We're going to have to answer to him about what did you do?
Yes. You know, I 100%. What did you do? You know, if you look at scripture, Jesus was angry with all 12 disciples only once, and it had to do with children. Parents were bringing little babies to be blessed by Jesus, and the disciples were rebuking the parents.
Yep.
And Jesus stopped what he was doing, and the Bible says he was livid. He was super angry, and he said this, basically, stop it. Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Basically, the disciples were missing the whole point about why Jesus came. What we as sinners before a holy God, I have no standing. I have no voice. I have no rights of my own. I have no resources to save my life. I will die of exposure to my sin unless somebody picks up my cause.
Yeah.
That little child is a metaphor. That little child is me. Because unless somebody picks up the cause of that baby will die of exposure within hours. Or days.
There's something else, Reverend Jim, that I think is interesting along the line of what you said. And I recently heard somebody say this. The only time that Jesus went what we would call mafioso was when he said, if you cause harm to one of these little ones, I'm going to hang a millstone around your neck and I'm going to drop you in the bottom of the ocean. Don't touch my kids. Don't touch my kids or I will end you.
Yes, and he does. And he has a track record of ending nations for destroying their children.
Yep.
I mean, just look at 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Just read Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel. I mean, it's all throughout the Old Testament. God is very interested in how people treat children. And in fact, if you look at the Old Testament law, you'll find that preborn boys and girls are actually afforded greater protection than born. So what I mean is, you find, and I think it was Exodus 21, two guys are fighting. They accidentally hit a woman who's pregnant. She miscarries. It's life for life. life for life. It's an accident. Yeah. It was just an accident. Well, yeah. What happens if you do it on purpose? What does God think about that? Yeah. So I you know, look, Planned Parenthood is an agent of social reengineering, and it's a de facto government agency. And they're engaging in abortion activities and transgender hormone therapy work that is a violation of the third Nuremberg Code. These are crimes against humanity, okay? And they're intentionally undermining the Judeo-Christian framework and the free market of society to destroy the nation-state system, of which America is the bulwark. If they can, they've been de-Christianizing this country since the 1960s, yep. And now they're going after our children, abusing them, hypersexualizing them through the public school system, and this is their goal. Their goal is to destroy the nation-state system to pave the way for a global communism. And doesn't that sound awfully apocalyptic? I mean, it's happening right before our very eyes. And I would say, look, we've got an opportunity. I don't know how much longer we've got, but as a country, we have sinned. And Jesus rebuked entire cities. I was reading this morning. He rebuked Chorazin. He rebuked all different cities for not repenting when all these signs and wonders were done amongst them. Jesus has blessed America beyond anybody's wildest imagination in the history of mankind. Yeah. And what do we do? We forget God and we throw it in his face and
we spit in his face and we trample the blood.
That's right.
And Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews is very clear in Hebrews 10 about what happens when you trample the blood of Christ. It's not a pretty picture. You know, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Folks, we are on the precipice of that. And you know, I've had people over the years say, well, you know, how's God going to bring a Babylonian issue upon it? Look, Obama was our Babylonian issue. And he continues. Biden is a continuation of it. And it really is. It's not 2.0. It's 4.0. I mean, yeah. It has gotten absolutely out of control when you consider what the Department of Justice has been doing to God-fearing Christian Americans. And I mentioned the last week on the program, we were talking about how we used to show videos of street preachers in London being arrested. And then it was street preachers in Canada being arrested. Now it's here.
It's here.
I can show you videos of it in Pennsylvania. I can show you videos of it in California. I can show you videos of it in Michigan. They are arresting street preachers across this country from coast to coast. If you're preaching Jesus Christ on the street in a big city, you better be prepared because you're likely to be trampled by the Gestapo that's running those cities.
That's right. And Gestapo is the right word. I mean, we've got the new American brown shirts that are attacking people. You've got people like New York Governor Kathy Hochul weaponizing legislation against pro-life people. I think this is a Stalinistic move. They're essentially trying to circumvent the justice system because they know that these pro-life people and other Christians are the ones that are the upstanding citizens that represent Judeo-Christian foundations of a true rule of law. And they're trying to destroy the constitutional rule of law. They got to destroy Christians. And Christians are the ones that see it. It's, you know, you and I are the ones talking about it. We know what time it is.
Yeah.
And that's because God has revealed himself to us and has opened our eyes. And so hopefully God will use what we're saying and help other people to see it. And that's why I say this is a great...
God gave me this resolution, and this has to do, too, with the G20, but it's applicable because the whole G20 resolution they just put in place is right in alignment with what we're talking against in the things that we're saying. But this is it. It says, we, the elected governing body, city, county, state, declare that we will not be subject to the provisions of the G20 New Delhi Leaders Declaration. We declare that we have been given inalienable rights by God, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We declare that we are a free people, independent of any international body or organization, and that we are governed by the United States Constitution and reserve all rights afforded by said Constitution. We further declare that as the duly elected representatives of we the people of our county, city, and state, we reserve all rights and privileges guaranteed in the United States Constitution on behalf of we the people who elected us under the authority authority given to us by Almighty God as declared in the Declaration of Independence and codified in the United States Constitution, all rights reserved.
Amen. And by the way, that's consistent with the oath of office that every single one of those people would have taken. So I'm with you. We've got to stand strong, and it's a Christian's duty. If you look at one of my serious concerns is that the church has not been preaching the responsibility of Christians and their duty to the Constitution, specifically in a rule of law society that says we're governed by the people and for the people. What does that mean when you look at Romans chapter 12 to be subject to governing authorities? Well, if the governing authority is, you know, by the people and for the people, what does that mean? It means more than just voting. It means more than just jury duty. It means stepping in and being vigilant to exercise your enumerated rights and more. It means we got to step in. We are duty bound, not to protect my rights. Jesus didn't go out there. If there's one person that had the justification to protect his rights from being violated, it's Jesus. But he didn't do that. He says, walk in my footsteps, go out there and seek to protect the rights of the weak and the vulnerable. That's yep. what Christians do. And so when you've got a government that comes along and works against what it means to be human and forces people to deny what it means to be human through their laws, I mean, it's time for Christians to stand up, to step in, to not let off on the gas, and you've got pastors, I think, that are not preaching this truth. Step in, brothers and sisters. God has sovereignly placed us in a society, in a governmental structure that requires your citizen response and vigilance to basically a coup. What are you going to do about it? I mean, I honestly, I think God is going to hold us accountable. What did you do about it?
Right.
People are dying and it's being systematized. Who's going to be next, by the way? Pro-life people are being treated like second-class citizens because we believe one thing that we're able to articulate, that is all people are made in the image of God and therefore equally valuable, deserving of protection under the law. That includes preborn boys and girls. And because we believe that, we're being treated like second-class citizens. It's a shot across the bow of the pro-life community for sure. It's also a shot across the bow of the church, because pro-life people are by and large Christians. So we've got to stand up. And if we don't, all of our pro-life work is going to be undone. They're going to outlaw, just as you were talking about, Pastor Greg, they're going to outlaw all public pro-life activity. And if you think I'm kidding or this is just like a conspiracy theory, think again. Because when they make abortion a fundamental human right, which is what the Biden administration dreams about doing every day, then what happens is they're gonna convict pastors of violating a woman's civil right by preaching a pro-life message. Yeah. You're standing in the way of a woman's civil right if you don't refer her for an abortion, and this is punishable by law and jail time. I mean, you're gonna get jail time, you're gonna get fines. I mean, this is what's happening right now in America. We got people going to jail without sentencing, federal prison without sentencing, because they happen to be peacefully protesting an abortionist who is letting children die after they were born on the table. So what kind of world are we living in? Yeah. There is no constitutional right to abortion construed in the Constitution, according to the Dobbs case overturning Roe.
Right.
And yet they're being prosecuted in federal court for conspiracy to deprive a right. This is a kangaroo court in the United States of America right now, U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C. What is going on? Where's the outcry? Where is the outcry? Talk to your governors. Tell them to hold the abortion industry accountable to the Department of Health. Talk to your attorneys general. Tell them to protect pro-life citizens. Talk to them. Tell them to protect their preborn citizens, because they're getting these drugs shipped into their states, which is against the Comstock Act, violation of the Comstock Act, federal violation. Every instance of chemical abortion, which represents half of all abortions in America today, is illegal because it was shipped here from China, and it's now being shipped across state lines, and that's illegal.
I want to real quick get the website in, compasscare.info, compasscare.info. If you're facing a pregnancy right now and you are not sure what to do or how to handle it, there are facilities and individuals available at your disposal right now by phone to take your call. Go to compasscareinfo.com. compasscare.info, compasscare.info. You can click on any of the drop downs. It doesn't matter where they're located. They have national reach, and they can put you in contact with somebody in your area that can help you, that can give you counsel, that can assist you. And they are wanting to and happy to do it. It is their mission. It's beyond just talking about this. It's actually getting engaged relationally with young women who are facing a pregnancy decision and helping them to make the decision for life, and then standing with them as they've made that decision so that that life and their life can have a successful outcome. CompassCare.info. CompassCare.info. Jim, we got to jump. Thanks for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it.
God bless, Pastor.
We're out of time. Coming up next, Texas Fully Loaded on TECN TV. And I will be back with you tomorrow. I got another great program lined up for you. Back with more tomorrow. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Remember, God has this in his hands, but he's called you and I to take an action. And I want to encourage you to take that action. Don't be sitting on the sideline on this. I'll be back.